There we go. Well, this morning I spoke to you about the world's greatest love affair, the world's greatest love story, the story of Jesus Christ dying for us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What a love story that was. What a great thing it was. But I want to preach to you tonight on just the opposite. There's a group out there that wants a belief without a cross. They're in the same bunch. They're right there, the belief without a cross. I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, and look at verse number 39 with me. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 39. And look what these people say. And then we'll look at some things this evening about a belief without a cross. And it says in verse 39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyed the temple and buildeth it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of Man, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Here, do you see what they said? Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, as he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And he crucified our Lord and Savior. But here's a group of people that said, if you're God, prove it by coming down off of the cross. We don't need the cross. If you really are God, we don't need the cross. A belief without a cross. Can there be such a thing? What would happen with a belief without a cross? Well, let's pray together and see. Father, Lord, tonight I ask you to just open up our hearts. Father, give me the words to say that I need to say about you. The Bible says very clearly that you are all and in all. And without you, we are nothing. Without you, we would have nothing. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for keeping us, and Lord, even again, coming again for us. Bless this night now, we pray. Guide and direct our lives. Give us that which is sweet and lovely to our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Men today look at the cross of Calvary as a big mistake made by Jesus Christ. Oh, he made a mistake. It's not any good at all. It's just a fable. Something shouldn't have been done. He was just a man that died, and folks have put everything around. Now, it has something to do with the salvation. They didn't understand that it's always been the central part of God's plan. The cross is it. Read Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Look at Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you realize Jesus Christ, the Son of God, him who died for us on that cross, knew from the very minute, even before he made mankind, that he was going to die? How many of you, I want to ask you a question, and you can answer this to me tonight. How many of you are just looking forward and are so glad that you know the day you're going to die? You just can't wait. Oh, God's told me I'm going to die. He lived that way in heaven and for 30 years upon this earth, knowing he was going to die. And yet he did. And he died for us. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, before the foundation of the world. But men don't understand that. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come on, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The men who took Christ to Calvary that day, the men who laughed at him, mocked him, said, crucify him, had no idea that that cross was their only hope for salvation. They're sitting there and say, come down, get off that cross. It won't do us any good. They should have known because the Bible abundantly, abundantly declared it. Psalm 22:14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Psalm 22:15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. The dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's in the Psalms. They should have known. And yet they said, come down off that cross. We don't need that cross. We don't need you to be on that cross. Come on down. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Turn back in your Bibles there with me for a second to Matthew chapter 27, and look at verse number 39. And look what the people said. Look at verse number 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. They had, look at the attitude of the people that were watching him there on the cross that day. Instead of trusting, they reviled. Instead of trusting, they reviled, which means to attack verbally. They literally attacked him verbally, looking at him that way. Look at verse number 40. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildeth it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Instead of trusting, they reveled, which means to attack verbally. They reveled. Instead of believing, they taunted the Lord. They taunted him there. Look at verse 41. Instead of worshiping, they mocked the Lord. Look at verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him. Mocking him. They looked at it so completely wrong. Instead of trusting the Lord, they doubted him. Look at verse number 43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he saith, I am the Son of God. Instead of trusting, they doubted. Instead of seeking his mercy, they reviled him again. Look at verse 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast his name in the teeth. Wow. But think about this with me for a second, folks. What kind of belief can you have without a cross? Is there any kind of belief that'll work without a cross? Number one, if there's no cross, there's no blood. If there's no cross, there's absolutely no blood. What does our Bible say about the blood of Jesus Christ? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Bible would not be true. If there wasn't a cross, there wouldn't be any blood whatsoever. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. That's in Leviticus. The blood. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Israel. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, no remission. There are so many things, so many, many things that would not happen if there was no cross. If there was no cross, there'd be no forgiveness. How could you get forgiven? Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We would have no forgiveness. A faith without the cross is no faith at all. A faith without the cross has nothing. There would be no salvation. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There'd be no faith. Absolutely none. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There'd be no faith. There would be no justification. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, a faith without a cross is no faith at all. We live in a world of people right now that they got everything figured out. I think about these rich, rich people. You think about the guy that owns Amazon. What's his name? Bezos, Bezos, be something. Anyway, he is building a yacht right now. He's building it in over in Amsterdam or somewhere in the Netherlands there. And there's a 100-year-old bridge that is going to have to be torn down because his yacht is so big they can't get it out of the yard until they do it down. So he's paying for it. Now, to do all the things that he's going to do, build that yacht, tear that down, is going to cost him 0.1% of his wealth. You know how much it's going to cost him? $500 million. That is 0.1% of his wealth. He doesn't need God. He thinks he's got everything he wants. He doesn't need a cross. He can laugh at God. He can laugh at anything he wants. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's going to come a day when he's going to take a breath and it's not going to come. He's going to take a breath and nothing's going to be there. He's going to take a breath and he's going to spend an eternity. He's going to close his eyes and open up them looking at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be cast into eternity apart from God. And that $200 billion is going to be wasted on somebody else. Because without a cross, without faith in Jesus Christ, without simple salvation, it doesn't matter what you have. You have nothing. Without a cross, there is no peace. Wow, that wonderful thing called peace. The Bible says in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of Christ, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Wow. 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 There'd be no eternal life. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Let me sing that song with the kids. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Amen. I'm going to heaven. There would be no eternal life. Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the law, first testament, and they which are called might be received the promise of eternal inheritance. I have eternal life. There'd be no great high priest without a cross. So as Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And this is the most important part. There'd be no resurrection. There'd be absolutely no resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? There cannot be a resurrection without a cross. There cannot be a resurrection without a death. There cannot be a resurrection without the shed blood. But if there be no resurrection, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are also found false witnesses of God, because you have testified God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised him up, if the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are dead in your sins. No hope without the blood. There'd be no gospel. There'd be no gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Romans 1:16, one of my favorite, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Without the faith, there is just nothing. There'd be no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We'd have absolutely no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. There be no second coming. There be no second coming. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So a faith without a gospel, without a cross, not much of a faith, is it? Because there'd be no blood. You see, people without a faith of a cross are literally dead in their sins. They're literally dead right now. He being dead, walking around dead men. You know, you were born dead. That's an amazing thing. We were born dead. And you know, what's that old saying? If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. See, if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. See, I got born on October 1st, 1942, back in the dark ages. But then I got born again, the second time, in 1969. So I'm only going to die once. That's it. But if I'd have just been born once in 1942, I'm going to die twice. I'm going to die and be put in a grave. And then I'm going to be called out by Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. I'm going to stand before him, lost and undone, and he's going to cast me into the lake of fire, which he says is the second death. Wow. I'm glad I'm born. I've been born twice. I'm only going to die once. That's just exactly how it is. You see, they're dead in their sins. They simply just don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Their lives are not changed. What a joy it is to see a life changed. What a blessing it is to see a life changed. Butch will remember this. Way back in, I guess it was 1977 or 78, I was pastor in Collierstown Baptist Church in Lexington, Virginia. And I'd gone off to the hospital to visit some people and was coming back, and there was no cell phones back there. There was nothing like that. Everything you had to do, you had to go find a phone somewhere, and then you had to have a dime so you could call, or a quarter. Then change it to a quarter, you had to have a quarter. And we had a family just started coming to visit our church. It was a mother and her two children. And there were two little girls. One was 6 years old and one was 3 years old. And that one Sunday, the second Sunday we were there, the little three-year-old come up and sat on my lap up on the pulpit and said, "Pastor Smith, I love church." Well, I drove home that day and from the hospital, and as I drove by their place, because we lived 8 miles out in the country, about 4 miles out is where they lived, about halfway to our house. I noticed a bunch of cars around their house, but I didn't think anything of it. Went on to my house. Got there, and Jackie said, "Walter, something not quite right over there. You need to go back and see what's going on." Well, I went back over there, and I've told some of you this story. And the two little girls, their grandma and grandpa's house was just right down below their house, and there was a creek that ran by there, and it was wintertime. And the two little girls had gone down and were playing by the creek and fell in the water. And the one little girl slipped under the ice, the three-year-old. And the six-year-old reached down and grabbed a hold of her, was trying to pull her out and couldn't get her out, and she slipped away and went underneath the ice. And she died. Well, I had that funeral, little casket up in front of the church. Such a sad, sad thing. Poor little six-year-old girl, just brokenhearted. And the father was a drunk. And about 2 days after the funeral, he come up to my house and knocked on my door and just crying, "I lost my little girl." And I sat down there and I took God's word and I opened it up to him and showed him about Jesus Christ, told him how Jesus died for him, how that Jesus loved him and cared for him and paid the price. And that man right there on my front porch in that little house out in the country trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I had an old 49 Mercury that I don't think I promised it to Butch, but I might have promised it to him. I had a flathead 49, 50 Mercury. It was a 50 Mercury flathead overdrive. It was just one of those special kind of cars. I was fixing up. I was going to keep it. I was going to give to somebody. That man didn't have a car. I gave him the car. Well, anyway, we went on our way to the other churches. 4 years ago, Tink Dudley died. Tink was a retired military man. He wanted me to preach his funeral. He said, when I die, you call Pastor Schmidt, wherever he's at, find him and come preach my funeral. So I went up to preach his funeral, went up there to Collierstown, Virginia, preached his funeral. I'm sitting there getting ready to have the funeral. A man taps me on the back of his shoulder, and he says, Pastor Schmidt, do you remember me? I turned around, and I said, no, sir. He says, you led me to Jesus Christ on your front porch, and I'm still going to church and still, and I'm going to see my little girl again one day. You see, but without a cross, people are dead in their sins. Without a cross, we couldn't tell stories like that. Without a cross, there wouldn't be happy stories and things that end like that. Without a cross, there wouldn't be anything such as that. There wouldn't be no hope and no joy. They have nothing. They sit there and they listen to a perverted gospel instead of the truth. Paul said this to the Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that you would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You see, without a cross, we have no gospel. Without a cross, people have no hope. Without a cross, there's nothing out there. Without a belief without a cross, men are dead in their sins. They preach another Jesus. Aren't you glad you know the true Jesus? Aren't you glad that as you look at me and smile at me right now, and some of you are smiling? Heaven's your home because the cross is real. Heaven's your home because the blood was shed. Heaven is real because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves you and cares for you. You see, a gospel without a cross is a terrible thing. But you know, a belief in the cross and the person who died on the cross will save your soul. A simple belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me ask you all a question. How many of you have been saved over 40 years here? Are there anybody here been saved more than 40 years? It's a bunch of you, raise your hand, been saved more than 40 years. Can I ask you a simple question? The story of Jesus dying on the cross, the story of him being buried, lying in that grave for 3 days, and then rising from the dead and walking on this earth for 40 days and then ascending up into heaven, does it ever get tired to you? Does it ever get old when somebody comes up and just tells you about that wonderful time when Jesus died for you, that wonderful time when he paid the... Does it ever get old or tiresome? Do you ever get tired of a preacher getting up and saying, no wonder Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me. I love to tell. I know I'm a storyteller. I'm sorry, folks. I just happen to be a storyteller because I got a lot of them. And every once in a while, they just kind of bubble out. I had a deacon named Doc Thompson. And Doc's family were from another faith, and his mother died, but he invited me to go to the funeral. And I went to the funeral, and I'm sitting back there, and this preacher got up and preached something. It was just off the wall, some kind of thing. I remember one part of it, though, very, very clearly. He says, death is just kind of like you're on a ship, and you're going out over the sea, and it slowly goes out of the horizon, and you just disappear. And I'm sitting there, and I'm reading that Galatians, and I'm reading that with the Apostle Paul, Jackie and three or four of the other people of the church sitting there, and you could see them. She could see the blood just coming up in my face like this, and I'm sitting there reading Galatians. Well, woe unto me if I preach any other gospel. And she says, Walt, don't you say anything. Walt, don't you dare say anything. Listen, there's no hope in that stuff, folks. There's no thing. So I got up. Guess what got preached at Collierstown Baptist Church that Sunday? Woe unto me if I preach any other gospel. Woe unto me. Folks need to know about Jesus. They need to understand that he died for them. And we've got the message in our hands, and it's the truth, and it's a belief with a cross. It's a belief that forever. It's a belief that can't be changed. It's a belief that stirs our heart and soul. It's a belief that gives us stories to tell like that of people getting saved, hearts being changed, lives being turned around forever and forever and forever. It is so worth it, so great to understand who will be redeemed? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When you realize there is a faith that has the cross of Calvary, you'll understand the love of God. You'll understand the marvelous grace of God. You'll understand the blessedness of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us together by Christ Jesus, for by grace are ye saved. Oh, wow. It's a salvation that just stirs the heart and makes the life worthwhile. This morning I thought about the wonderful cross and tried to give you that. I got 21 points there on Jesus Christ going to the cross and what he did, and I thought about tonight. What about a faith without a cross? It is so dead. There's nothing there. Nothing worthwhile. Nothing to excite you. Nothing to get you to want to do anything for God. But when we realize he died for me. He paid the price for me. He rose from the dead for me. He is alive for me. And my folks, even tonight, he could come for us. Even so, come Lord Jesus. A belief without a cross has no hope. A belief without a cross has no faith. A belief without a cross has no future. But a belief with a cross has everything. A belief with a cross has nothing but hope. Joy forevermore. She was playing to start. Where's one? One's over there. This morning she was playing, "There is coming a day when a heartache shall come." We had a deacon. His name was Jimmy Hall. He was a farmer, hard-working man, worked two jobs and had a farm. And Jimmy loved that song. And I'd be with the church, and I'd be up leading, singing. I was my first church. I was the janitor, the song leader, the preacher, the lawnmower, put a new roof on her, whatever else could be done. That kind of church would. But Jimmy was always there to help me. Jimmy's always one there to help me. But every time I'd get, every once in a while, I'd say, "Well, let's do something different this time. Let's just do some songs out of the congregation." By the way, I'm doing this because I'm going to wait till that football game's over. I said to Jimmy, he would always say, "There's coming a day. You want to sing that song. Sing that song." And Jimmy, at a very young age, one day he was out working in his farm out there, and he dropped over dead. And I often thought, and they called me all the way back up to preach Jimmy's funeral. And I had him sing that song, "There's coming a day when no heartache shall arrive, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be." See, folks, the faith we got gives us such wonderful memories, gives us such wonderful hope, gives us such great peace and understanding, and gives us a desire and a drive to do something for Jesus Christ. You see, we've got something here in this church. We've got a pastor that loves you. You've got an assistant pastor that loves you. And I think his wife loves you. You know that. That's a given. But our desire is to see this church grow, not to put people and fill the pews up, not just for that, but to see people start coming in and wanting to hear the wonderful word of God and getting saved. And then following the Lord and believers baptism and just wanting to serve God. And a joy that comes in the church as a church grows and as they see the spiritual things going. It works in the church, folks, but it has to have a gospel that has a cross. A cross with a Savior that died upon it, that was buried and rose again the third day, and gives us hope and gives us joy and gives us peace in all things. Folks, what am I saying to you? We got some. Let's keep it. Let's get excited about our Savior. Let's get excited about our church. Let's get excited about one another. Let's get excited to see what we can see done in this place as God works through us and in us, because there's a cross. There's a resurrection. There's a heaven. But there's also a hell. Let's get on fire for God. Let's serve with all our hearts. Let's rejoice in Him and be excited of what He's done for us. Can I ask you a simple question? If you died right now, or 10 minutes from now, or 10 years from now, do you know without a shadow of a doubt where you will spend eternity? Do you know? Could you walk up here to me and say, Pastor Schmidt, I'll tell you, I got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I knew I was a sinner. If you can't do that, please, please come and talk to me. Please, please let me show you in this book my Savior, Jesus Christ. Please. And if you're a Christian and you got something at odds against one another, you're sitting over there because you don't like that person over there. You know that East Harsel bunch, it's not bad to this West Harsel bunch. They're okay, and Central Harsel's okay as well, too. Just get over it. Just get excited about one who loves you and died for you and is coming again for you. Don't let any things like that bother you. I had a lady one time at Fairview Baptist Church. Ladies, can I do this with you ladies real quick, and then I'll quit, I promise. I was just joking, because I like to joke, and you guys might have been there. And I said, you know, we got this bunch of little ladies in our church that every Saturday, they go get their hair done. Every Saturday. In fact, one of them, Miss Donnie, had her own beauty shop, and they go to the beauty shop. And they went over there and get a permanent. And I looked at them, and I said, if you go every Saturday and get a permanent, then it must be a temporary. Right? One lady got ferociously mad. We can get that bad in a church. She got ferociously mad because I made a joke about her getting a permanent. Come on, folks. Let's just get a life here. I don't care what you say. It's a temporary. Amen? But we need to just understand life is real. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. We got something that is so precious because there is a cross and there is a heaven and there is a future. So if you've got a problem, get it right tonight. Walk out of this place rejoicing because Jesus loves you. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord,